Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waving for the video portion of our show, Captain Brett Bartlett needs no introduction. He's the founder of Exemplar Defense Solutions at exemplardefense.com. 32 years of exemplary, mostly, law enforcement experience. So we appreciate having the captain on our show. Randy liked that one. And then we're going to jump over to the Las Vegas, Nevada side. We have Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the founder of The Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Also, Randy's actually worked for a couple agencies. You guys probably mostly know him from Las Vegas Metro. But yeah, Randy's been around the block. Randy, you've got, what, 32, 34 years law enforcement experience, I believe. Is that correct?
34, yep. 10 in Princeton and 24 with Metro.
Yeah, overachiever. All right, and then we got James Orr, and he's with Tampa Polygraph Service, but he's retired FBI. He just does the polygraph thing to kind of throw people off. He doesn't want them knowing that he's got all that FBI experience. So thanks for being on the show, Jim. We appreciate it. Look, a shout-out to our sponsors. We have Gauls, our title sponsor. We actually had Mike Thadden, the CEO of Gauls, on the show earlier this week. We had a great show, so make sure you check out that one. So Gauls at Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. I think we're in our eighth week on satellite radio right now, thanks to Compliant Technologies. And my favorite product they have is called the Glove. We have GunLearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And yes, thanks to them, we're reaching about 1.5 million people on stream right now. Also, TwoBells.com. They built our new online store at leoroundtable.com where you can get all of our cool gear. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. Thank you for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, a lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Here we go, guys. We've got the first story. You know, it's not really just Tampa, but it's getting the conversation started. Tampa Mayor Jane Castor says that local cops should not be engaged in ICE raids. Very interesting, especially since that we are in Florida and we have a governor, Ron DeSantis, who feels differently, arguably. So we're going to have that conversation. Also, San Mateo County supervisors vote unanimously to oust the sheriff. We've been following this soap opera drama for a while. She, the sheriff, is not going to go quietly. Then we have a stunning display of incompetence by cops. It led to an officer getting shot in Ohio. There's a lawsuit involved. Wait till you hear about that if we have time to cover it. We've got an armed suspect fatally shot by Los Angeles, LA sheriff's deputies after a deputy was shot during the struggle. So the deputy got shot in the foot first. LAPD officers shoot a man armed with a knife in an apartment building. And we've got Senator Chuck Grassley calls for delays at a benefits program for deceased officers. Absolutely unacceptable. Randy's going to be all over that one. And Randy's going to be working overtime because then we've got Governor, Gianforte, or I'm probably butchering the name, but he vetoes a bill for first responders PTSD compensation. This is in Montana. Wow. So I know Randy, I can't wait to hear you on that one. We got Harris County deputies fatally shooting a suspect who was armed with a large butcher knife. And I would say that was an ugly looking knife. So assuming that we have time to get to those stories, that's the lineup. So if you guys are ready, let's go in and start off with our first main story. It is at a Creative Loafing is the name of the publication, and it's at cltampa.com. Tampa Mayor Jane Castor says local cops should not be engaged in ICE raids. Now, the U.S. Conference of Mayors, they just held their annual meeting in Tampa last weekend, and one of the resolutions that they were set up to vote on, it called upon federal authorities to focus on deportation actions on convicted criminals and not on undocumented individuals who contribute to their local communities. I love the way they kind of throw that last part in quotation marks, of course. And they call them undocumented individuals instead of saying illegals and not acknowledging the fact they've broken the law by getting in the country, not to mention the slam on people who come over here illegally, like my wife's family from Colombia. But that's a different story. And so this article, according to Andy Ginther, mayor of Columbus, Ohio, and the conference's sitting president, this is the information that he's giving out. Now, it goes on to say that Ginther spoke at a press conference held at the Tampa Marriott Water Street. It's actually Waterside, and it is a nice place, by the way. On the first day of the four-day event, there are actually 179 mayors from across the country who have gathered for the annual summer meeting, which is kind of impressive. They had that many mayors from all over the country. Now, the resolution regarding the immigration has three main planks. Here they are. Number one, delineates the appropriate roles of local and federal officials in protest response. So if you guys haven't gathered it, this is their wish list. This is non-binding, but because they are the mayors across the country. They're looking to draw a line in the sand and make these, put these recommendations in writing. So there's really, it's like non-binding arbitration, right? Number two, calls on immigration and customs enforcement. So they're calling on ICE to focus their deportation actions on convicted serious criminals and not on undocumented hardworking individuals who have families and they pay taxes and they contribute to their local communities. Yeah, they pay taxes. And number three, they are urging the federal officials to notify local authorities in advance of any planned ICE actions and to conduct those actions in as orderly and unprovocative way as possible. Yeah, let's go. Yeah, with all the tip-offs and stuff that have been going on across the country, I'm sure the feds are just anxious to let the locals know when they're going to be doing the ICE raids. Now, in Fresno, California, Mayor Jerry Dyer, now this is Fresno, and this is the first quote they put up there, and it's like, well, number one, the first flag, it's California, and then secondly, it's Fresno. So, I mean, you would think that they would get a more respectable part of the country to talk about this thing than using the Fresno mayor. But Mayor Jerry Dyer, he served 40 years in Fresno Police Department, the last 18 as chief. He said that at the press conference, that one of the things he's learned is that for police officers to be effective, they must be seen as welcome presence, as a welcome presence, and not as an occupying force. This is just hilarious. Here's a quote. Unfortunately, what we're seeing today in many cities across America, including LA, is an occupying force. And that is a federal agents. Well, I'm sorry. And that is federal agents. And now our U.S. military. And unfortunately, the Los Angeles Police Department is having to be brought into that situation. He goes on to say, I do think that our friends over at HIS, which is Homeland Security Investigations, and ICE, they need to modify how they approach immigration enforcement in our cities. And the truth is that the tactics need to be changed. The uniforms, they need to be modified. And I really believe there needs to be better coordination with local law enforcement. In other words, tell us in advance what you're going to do, right? Now, Tampa Mayor Jane Castor, host of last weekend's conference, served as at the Tampa Police Department for 31 years. The last six, she was as chief. Now she's the mayor. She echoed Dyer's remarks, arguing that collaboration with the local neighborhoods and the police department is built on a foundation of trust. And actually, I would agree with that. I think it is built on a foundation of trust. I think it's been breached already. When that trust is eroded, crime rises, she said. And why? Because when some immigrant populations become victims of crime, they are not comfortable anymore with reporting that because they no longer trust law enforcement. That is the fundamental reason that law enforcement should not be engaged in immigration enforcement, she said, Jane Castor. All right, there we go. Captain Brett Bartlett, you are up first.
I looked up the website for the United States Conference of Mayors. Here's the immigration leadership of this group. Mike Johnson, Denver, no kidding. John Cowan, Brownsville. He's also on the Criminal and Social Justice Committee. And then Mayor Regina Romero of Tucson, she runs the Latino Alliance of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. So all these people are extremely liberal. Here's some of the words about the task force. We mentioned diversity and inclusion. It mentions we're built on immigrants, but nobody says illegal immigrants. All the buzzwords, but they don't. So it's a very, very liberal group, I believe. I tried to decipher what party the people that were here in Tampa belonged to, and I couldn't. But when I looked on the how to join page, of all the information they wanted, they also wanted your political party. So somehow or another, the political party does play a role in all this, not keeping you off, but they asked for the information. Now, I will tell you, Jane and I worked together for years way back in the day. I'll tell you what, I think she's a great person. She cares about the community, but she's the mayor of Tampa, you know, and if it wasn't for Tampa south of Kennedy Boulevard, this would be a Republican city. I would still take a bullet for Jane, but I don't know if I would vote for her. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, look, obviously, there's some other components here. When we just find out the players that are involved in this, it all starts to make sense. And Brett, you didn't even mention the Ron DeSantis factor in this thing. There's been some legislation. Didn't DeSantis come down with legislation saying that we had to cooperate with ICE officials, with the federal officials?
I've heard that. I haven't read that statute, so I really don't know. But you know what? For years, Chip, you know this. All you guys know this. We had officers assigned to the FBI task force, to the U.S. Marshals task force, all these task forces. So we've been on the front line cooperating with federal agencies as long as my career. So I don't understand why we can't have somebody on the ICE task force or somebody helping out ICE. But I do understand this. If I don't have the manpower to help you, okay, but don't stand in our way if when we're doing our work.
Yeah, you know, and maybe, and I know you're up next, Jim, but the article, that maybe it was just carefully worded because it says Tampa Mayor Jane Castor says local cops should not be engaged. It doesn't say would not or will not be. It said should not. So maybe it's just a disagreement with what came down from Governor Ron DeSantis saying that they have to be. And because it said should, it didn't say, you know, would not. So maybe that's what it is. Jim Orr, retired FBI.
Yeah, Brett kind of preempted my main point I wanted to make, and that's that historically we've had FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force, Fugitive Task Force. I was also on the Violent Crime Task Force. You know, so it's a common practice for state, local, and federal agencies to work together on task forces to attack common problems. And illegal immigration is one of those problems. There's no reason it should be exempted from that. And, you know, if we tell them ahead of time of any planned raids, what do you think is going to happen there? It's going to get leaked. They're going to be scurrying into the bushes, and it's going to, you know, end up with negative results on these raids because the locals in these jurisdictions that are coming forth with this agenda are not interested in enforcing immigration laws.
All right. Well, perfect timing, Jim. We're going to get right back to this in one moment. But first, we're going to be talking about GALS. We have a commercial coming up. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GALS. You know, as police officers, we all know that we can buy our gear from a lot of different sources, especially when you consider even going online. But I want to remind everybody about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. Now, I don't know of a company that does that better or fits that bill better than GALS at GALS.com. And their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. So they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please consider going to our title sponsor at GALS.com in order to make that purchase. And they're going to do you one better for the loyal listeners of the show. They're going to give you a code. It's radio15. And with that code, you automatically get 15% off your next purchase at GALS.com. That is good through June the 30th. Again, radio15, type it in at GALS.com to get 15% off. And they have gift cards. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new GALS gift card. They will be your new best friends. We give away two every week on the show as well. GALS.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. We've been talking about the story generated from Tampa. We were talking about a conference of mayors that met in Tampa, which is in mine and Brett's neck of the woods. And, you know, they gave, I wouldn't even call it a referendum. They gave it a wish list of what they want the federal government to do and how they involve ICE. They want to get advanced notice when they're doing raids. They want them only to concentrate on the worst criminals and leave people that are, what was the term they used? It wasn't, they didn't call them illegals, which of course they are, but they used, were they immigrants that contribute to the community or what was something along those lines? Right. So anyhow, I know that Jim was talking. Do we any more commentary on that, guys? Randy Sutton.
Yeah, you know, I have mixed feelings about this this immigration issue. First of all, I don't believe that street cops should be getting involved in immigration issues. Now, that doesn't mean that when the feds are doing their thing, that law enforcement should be there to back them up, as we have seen. That did not happen in Portland. And I don't know if you saw the attack in Portland. I mean, this is literally a siege, and Portland PD was nowhere to be found. I mean, it was literally, they were going after trying to basically break into the ICE facility there. And the first time it happened, when they called for backup, Portland PD was not anywhere to be found. The second time, they had enough feds there where they just went to town, man. They defended the fort. But this is something that is very divisive. I think that law enforcement has to work together as a team. If there is one agency that's having safety issues, well, that's an all hands on deck kind of thing. And that means you got to take care of business. And if they're divided, as we have seen in LA, where the, once again, a lackluster response, That's very, very dangerous for all of law enforcement. So there can't be any daylight between agencies during operations. Now, when it comes down to the enforcement of simply immigration laws, I don't think that local law enforcement should be involved in that. I know one thing that you know, we have a huge Hispanic population here in Vegas, and there's a lot of illegals here, and they're an at-risk population as well. And when they think that, hey, I get raped and I can't call the police because I'm afraid of getting deported, that's a problem. That's a real problem. Most don't know that if you're a victim of a crime, there is an immigration policy where you will be allowed to stay in the country if you're a victim. So that's something that needs to be brought out. But when it comes down to, you know, when I first got to Las Vegas, if we made a vehicle stop and it was a no habla situation, we would call immigration and they would come in the bus and just take them away. That fell by the wayside. And I actually think that there's a fine line that needs to be walked here.
You know, Chip, remember this policy years ago at Tampa on bail bondsmen? Remember that? Is basically this: we're not going to assist them in their work. We'll protect them from danger, but we're not going to assist their work. Because when it comes to bail bondsmen and ICE agents, constitutional rights aren't really the number one concern, right? So, you know, police officers sworn to uphold and protect, but with a bail agent, since they have such broad powers, that policy didn't want us stepping into that. And when it comes to immigration, regular street cop has no idea what those laws are. It's a completely different thing. So I'm okay with them not buddying up and going in, but I would be okay with them standing out on the street to protect their backs from the bad guy and from a violent population as well.
Yeah, I really think that was the purpose of the law. And I think what the intent was from Governor Ron DeSantis, to be honest with you. And as far as that memo on helping those guys on the repo, I wish I would have got that memo. I've done so many repos in my career, it's ridiculous. So I never got that memo. So, but thanks for letting me know about it now. So, but I appreciate that. No. Any other commentary, guys? You right, guys, ready to move on? So I'm going to go out of order here because we got Randy on the show and I want to make sure we cover some of the stuff. So let's go ahead and cover this usnews.com. Senator Grassley calls delays at a benefits program for deceased officers absolutely unacceptable. So we're in Iowa City, Iowa. So a powerful U.S. senator on Tuesday called on the Trump administration to fix a growing backlog and long time management problem at a program that promises benefits for police and firefighters when they die or become disabled in the line of duty. So Republican Chuck Grassley of Iowa, he's the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee as well. He said the public safety officers benefits program that they're failing the spouses and children, basically the survivors of deceased and disabled first responders, and they need new leadership. So he just wants a leadership change. He said that the mismanagement has caused significant hardship from grieving families, for grieving families who often experience years-long delays in processing and approving claims. So as the story goes on, as you go further down this rabbit hole, it almost sounds, it just sounds unbelievable. He goes, this is absolutely unacceptable. He wrote in a letter to Attorney General Pam Bondi, our friend, in which he suggested that she consider replacing long-term program leader Hope Jahnke. Now, Grassley's letter comes days after the Associated Press. They published an investigation, and this is where it gets ugly, guys. They detailed the claims backlog at the program, which provides nearly $450,000 one-time payment to the families of deceased and disabled officers and firefighters, in addition to education benefits. So that's almost half a mil, which is really, by the day standard, guys, that's really not a lot of money. And you're normally in the situation, you're losing your breadwinner, right? So the AP found dozens of families who are still waiting 5 years or more to learn whether they even qualify for the life-changing payments, and more are being denied. And as of late April, nearly 900 claims had been pending for more than 1 year. and more than the triple number from 5 years ago with a small number of languishing for a decade. So look, we're going to a commercial break. We got to make this cut. We're going to get right back to this in 1 second. We'll see you in just 1 second. All right, guys, time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com, and they're committed to providing a non-lethal solution that helps officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their, and remember this name, CD3. It stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries because the Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually have eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that's ComplianTechnologies.com. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up, July the 9th, Bulletproof DUI Report. Sign up at BlueTheGold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game because, frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. BlueTheGold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block. We're joined by, wow, we got a crew, Captain Brett Bartlett. We got Lieutenant Randy Sutton, and we got retired FBI Jim Orr. So thanks for being on the show, Jim. And, you know, when we went to commercial break, we were talking about Senator Chuck Grassley calling on delays at a benefits program for deceased officers absolutely being unacceptable. And the AP found dozens of families are waiting. Well, they've been waiting 5 years or more to learn whether they even qualify for this life-changing payments, which are just under $500,000. And it says as of late April, nearly 900 claims have been pending for more than a year. And that's more than triple the number from 5 years ago. So the problem is getting worse. And there's a small number of languishing for over a decade. Grassley cited a Government Accountability Office report issued last year that detailed deficiencies in the program's management that dated all the way back to 2009. He said the program had failed to make changes recommended by outside reviewers, but that government bureaucrats such as Janky, who's in charge, have never been held accountable. And he wants a new person at the helm, Randy Sutton.
This is an issue I'm deeply involved in. In fact, I worked with Senator Grassley's office on this very topic. We had several conversations with his staff. This is a disgrace to the national law enforcement community. Here's what it began as many years ago. The Public Safety Officer Benefit Program was put into place, and it is managed by the Department of Justice. And for many, many years, most police officers didn't even know this program existed. Now, many thought that it was simply a death benefit, that if you're killed in the line of duty, your family would be getting a one-time payment, and it goes up each year. And then there's some educational components as well. Very few people knew that there is also, as part of that program, if you are severely disabled in the line of duty, catastrophically injured, then you are also eligible for it. Most agencies don't even know that is a benefit, and it is literally life changing. The Wounded Blue has been assisting. We've gotten many officers millions of dollars in public safety officer benefits that many did not know existed. I'll give you an example: an Oklahoma police officer shot in the head by a cartel hitman during a pursuit was given substandard medical treatment. Well, they didn't pay his medical bills for a year and a half. He lost his house. He lost his car. And until we got him the public safety officer benefit, they were going to lose everything. So it's a very, very important program. But it has been it is bureaucracy upon bureaucracy. And I couldn't agree more that they need a complete 100% overhaul, because they are absolutely inefficient. They like I said, it is nothing but a bureaucracy and needs to be overhauled from the top to the bottom, because these officers, it is disgrace that you can wait 5 years for your claim to be even heard. That's insane. And I couldn't agree with Senator Grassley more.
Wow. All right. Well, I'm impressed to see that you've been working with Grassley. So that's great news. So on the back of that one, we have another story, guys. And so, Randy, you may want to keep your mic unmuted because we're not done with you yet. So MontanaRightNow.com, Governor Gianforte, am I getting that right, Randy? Is that close enough to the real thing? Vetoes a bill for first responders PTSD compensation. So this is really Randy's neck in the woods. Helena Montana, Governor Greg Gianforte has vetoed a Senate bill that aimed to provide workers' compensation for first responders suffering from PTSD. The decision has drawn reactions from several fire departments. Now, the Montana State Council of Professional Firefighters, they expressed their disappointment on Facebook, stating that he says he stands with first responders, but when it mattered most, he did not. And there was a canned response from the governor's office. Randy Sutton.
Yeah, you know, this is really disappointing. There are still states that do not recognize post-traumatic stress as a legitimate injury. It's mind-boggling with everything that we've learned about PTS that a state would say, well, we don't recognize it as a workers' comp injury. And Montana, I'm shocked that they would adopt this stance. And the governor said it. He came out right with it. Well, it's going to cost us money. Really, that's the crux of this, that you don't want to spend the money to help officers or fire department in dealing with post-traumatic stress. It's an outrage, and I'm surprised that the Montana peace officers haven't come out publicly about this. But there are still states that don't even recognize it as a workers' compensation injury. And it's really shocking that this day and age, a governor would veto such an important piece of legislation that literally affects the lives of law enforcement all over their state, as well as the nation.
Randy, how can people listen to the show? And of course, we're covering things, people dropping the ball all over the place, right? When we just kind of have two stories back to back, there's some serious ball dropping. If people want to get involved in an organization, I'm talking about the Wounded Blue, where they can have faith that their support and their financial support is going to go where it can be used best. How can they get more information and get more involved?
Our website is thewoundedblue.org, thewoundedblue.org. See who we are, see what we do. If you want to become a sponsor or come to our law enforcement summit, which is in September, you can contact me directly, randy@thewoundedblue.org. And any business that is involved with taking credit cards, we have an incredible program now that can help injured officers with no money coming out of your pocket, and yet you get an IRS deduction. Contact me, randy@thewoundedblue.org. And by way of that, I just want to tell you one story that is actually happening right now. Today, one of my officers that was literally thrown away after being severely injured in the line of duty in Texas, received life-changing surgery. And it looks like he's going to be able to walk again after being told he'd be confined to a wheelchair for the rest of his life.
Wow. That's impressive. You have the summit coming up as well, correct?
In September 22nd through the 25th, the 5th annual National Law Enforcement Survival Summit. If you're a law enforcement officer or you've retired, this is the one training conference you should come to. It is literally life-changing, every aspect of surviving a law enforcement career. So if you go to our website, thewoundedblue.org, and sign up today, I guarantee you it will change your life.
And what if you have a spouse, Randy?
I'm glad you mentioned that, because the Wounded
that's
Blue.
Why, that's why I'm here.
The Wounded Blue provides spousal support for officers' families as well, because if your cop is hurting, your spouse is hurting, and we provide spousal support for law enforcement families as well.
I love it. I love it. Guys, remember that. You're getting the best information here on the show. Now, before we go to our first story, the video component, Captain Bartlett, unmute that microphone. You've got a little toy, I think, a new tool, a new thing that could save your life that you're in possession of that you want to show off, correct?
Yes, we got this way cool knife in from Microtech. It's my first out the front knife I've ever owned. And it's this thing. I don't know if knives can have personalities, but this one's just groovy. Man, it feels good in the hand. It's well made. It's solid without being ridiculously heavy. And man, when you hit the, I'm sure there's another name, the button, that knife comes out with authority and that blade comes out. You can see that. That's a sharp blade, well made. So thanks to Microtech for providing this to a couple of us.
Can you do a close up of that? And can you deploy that in slow motion so we can see that?
Yeah, you ready?
Yeah.
Now this is slow motion. I'm slowing it down. Ready? Oh, that was slow motion right there.
Wow.
If it was fast, but you don't have enough bandwidth to pick up this motion.
What's that on the backside of the knife?
It's their logo. It's
No. The bottom. It looks like a glass break.
Oh, that's not a logo. That's the glass break. That's not a logo.
Well, That's what I'm saying. Well, you got a glass break on the back.
Yeah, it does. Got a
glass. You said logo. I didn't say logo. I was talking about the glass break the whole time. So
you just need to increase your bandwidth.
All right, I'm doing it. All right. Well, thanks for showing us off. Microtech is definitely a high end knife company, and so yeah, very cool. Well, guys, we're 45 seconds out from taking our next commercial break. Let me go in and whet the appetite. You know, on the next story, we got an armed suspect fatally shot by LASD. It's a sheriff's office in Los Angeles County. The deputy ended up getting shot in the struggle as well. It's actually a pretty wild story. So you don't want to go anywhere. We're going to be covering that next. And guys, we got a commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, you know, it's law enforcement. We deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett here, and also attorney Ken Afianko. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, listen to this. The founder is Dan O'Kelly. He's come up with a way, if you have your own agency, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Amazing opportunity. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. I'm Chip DeBlock. We're joined by Captain Brett Bartlett, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, retired FBI Jim Orr. And hey, our next story, rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter, armed suspect fatally shot by LASD deputies. So that's Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department deputies after deputy was shot during a struggle.
Do not reach.
I haven't done anything wrong.
Stop.
I'm not breaking the law.
Don't.
No, touch her. Please touch her.
I'm not doing nothing wrong. I'm not resisting.
Stop.
Give me your arm.
Stop.
Give me your fucking arm.
I'm not doing nothing wrong.
Get on the ground.
Stop.
Give me your fucking arm.
I'm not doing nothing wrong.
Please. I'm not doing nothing wrong.
Stop.
I helped her out.
That's the matter. I live
there.
I'm a resident right there. I'm not doing nothing.
Put your fucking hands on your back.
You don't have to train me like this. I'm not doing nothing wrong, sir. Please.
Stop.
Please.
Stop moving his arm, bro.
Please.
Get his other arm.
I'm not doing nothing wrong.
Get his other arm.
Please.
He wants to know
for yourself. Stop. Stop reaching. Stop fucking me! Hey, 417! 417! Hey! Hey! Put your fucking hands, you're gonna get shot!
Help me!
417!
Help me!
Taser!
Help me!
So listen to how this goes down. So the LA Sheriff's Department, they released this new body cam footage of a fatal shooting in Lancaster involving an alleged thief. Now, the shooting happened earlier in the month in a place called Meadowville Circle. Deputies spot this guy. He matches the description of a suspect that was given by a suspect description given by a 911 caller. And again, this guy's supposedly a thief. Deputies attempted to engage this guy. Body cam is rolling. It shows our 31-year-old bad guy named Eric Barrios. He refuses to comply with the deputy's instructions, and now there's a violent struggle. I always ask, whenever there's a bad encounter with law enforcement, the first thing I look for is, was the bad guy compliant? Because guess what? If he's non-compliant, as this guy is, and in 99.9% of all of them, if they're non-compliant, they're bad guys, period. So even if you have a suicidal suspect that refuses to put the gun or the knife down, they're a bad guy because they're non-compliant. So our bad guy, Eric Barrios, despite what his girlfriend says later in the story, refuses to comply. Now there's a violent struggle between him and the police. So one deputy's heard shouting 417, and that means that the guy's armed. So he actually produced a gun while they're in the process of tasing him. So in the tussle, deputy said that Barrios, he grabs a ghost gun that he had on him and he fired at a deputy who had tased him several times. In the video, they do have a slow motion portion that shows the suspect. He pulls out the firearm, points at the officers, and he shot one of the officers in the foot, and the deputies, they separate, they create distance, they fire back, and I would say they convincingly fire back, and they fatally strike Barrios, who ends up dying. One deputy hit in the lower torso by the bullet. I thought he was in the foot, but it said lower torso, and he taken to the hospital, and the investigators recovered the 9mm firearm. The grip was actually shot off by one of the police officers or one of the deputies' rounds that were taking him out. And now we have the outraged community activists that said that witnesses at the scene said that he never fired a weapon. And of course, who are they using as a quote? Elena Sanabri. And she said he never got up to shoot anybody. He didn't even get the chance to. He was handcuffed. And of course, she is identified as his fiance. Shocker. Investigators said Barrios was a convicted felon with a long criminal record, and of course, a prohibited person. He should never have had a gun in the first place. So any commentary on this one, gentlemen? We have about a little less than 7 minutes before we go back. Captain Bartlett.
Well, first thing, I want to jump to the end of it when the video shows the random dude, I don't know, friend, walking calmly away from a ground gunfight that just took place, turning and walking calmly away. If there was a gunfight, me and you would be sucking up concrete. He turns and walks away like it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Go back to my common theme. Why are the police yelling commands knowing they don't work? And why aren't they taking some hard object and applying it to the side of his head? And what was the bad guy doing? I'm not doing anything. What's he doing? He's trying to distract the cops. This is it. Hey, police, shut up. Commands don't work. Give him concrete poisoning because it went on way too long. It just went on too long. They should punch him unconscious.
Yeah, I totally agree. Randy Sutton.
You know, when they discovered that he had that gun in his hand, they should have disengaged and killed him immediately. That's the end of the story. To wrestle somebody with a gun.
No, totally agree. Anybody else on this, or? All right, guys, moving along here. Our next story then, and we've got another story with a video component. I've got enough time, I think, to get to this one. So LAPD officers, they shoot a man armed with a knife in an apartment building.
You got DCO, right, one person only. You got the 40. Hey, but be careful, he ran out the front. Hey, I'll be your guy. Be careful, because he had a frying pan and he has a knife. So we got to go, come on. Relax, but let me, hey, if I can get a chance, I'm going to tase him. Watch out, slow. Hey, hey, hey! Slow. Hey, hey, hey!
so, were in Tarzana, California. Now, Los Angeles police, they shoot a man who is allegedly armed with a knife in an apartment building in Tarzana on Monday night. Now, circumstances leading up to the shooting, they say it's unclear, but police say that they were called out about 9:30 p.m. after they get reports of a guy with a knife. Now, they said the suspect was in an agitated state. I would agree with that. He was yelling from the window of his first floor unit at the apartment complex. They said that he's yelling and also armed with a frying pan. I mean, you know, that's usually a chick's weapon, right? But the dude's got a frying pan. That's all I'm going to say. And he's using it to break the glass in the window. And as officers approach the courtyard of the complex, they see this guy armed with a knife, and an officer-involved shooting occurs. And this is all in a post on X, formerly Twitter, from LAPD. They later clarified the suspect ran at them while armed with a knife, and it's in a courtyard area of this apartment complex. A man identified by police as 31-year-old Rafalu Erfan. He was taken to a hospital in critical condition, but he survived, and he was later booked for assault with a deadly weapon on a peace officer. Now, going back to my notes, I just have down, they located this person with a knife at the complex. Shots and taser ended up being fired at the 5:57 mark as a suspect charges at officers with the knife. And we've got body cam one, body cam two, body cam three, all showing the shoot. So no doubt, at least in my mind, that it was a legitimate, justified shoot. Any commentary on this one? Jim, we haven't heard from you all day. Do you want to chime in on this one? Can you get that mute button to work there? All right.
Yeah, I agree. It was a 100% justifiable shoot. You know, it's what you're trained to do, and it was required in this situation. I don't see any problems with the shoot at all.
All right. I love it. Brett and Randy.
Well, you know, what wasted oxygen when the officer yelled a couple of times, "Hey, calm down. This is not going to happen." But I got kudos. The officer that fired the shot, he just maintained his cool. Sounded pretty good. So
I like the tactics that they used on this. You know, they identified this guy he was absolutely off his rocker. But they used all the tools at their disposal. They did it safely. They didn't go in just using low lethal. They one guy had the 40mm, and one guy had a taser. One guy was lethal, and it worked the way it's supposed to work. You try the low lethal if safe, and then you go to gun. We have seen, unfortunately, we had a police officer killed not long ago, just about a week or so ago, who deployed a taser against a firearm. It's maddening to see how police agencies are training their people to deploy a taser against a weapon, a firearm, and this officer lost his life because of it. It's an outrageous training deficiency, and not only that, but if agencies are using the de-escalation mantra. To the point where they're placing their cops in jeopardy. They have a gun. No, you don't go low lethal. You go to gun.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I know that we've got another story, and I'm just going to mention this. KTVU.com, San Mateo County Supervisors, they actually vote unanimously to oust the sheriff there. And remember, this is the female sheriff, Christina Corpus. This lady, she's not a lady, she does not want to go, and she's not going without a fight. So even now, the board of supervisors have voted to have her removed, and this has been in the process for a while, because she says, "I didn't do anything wrong." She's got a lawyer, and they're going to be fighting this. So I'm pleased that they finally have made the vote to remove her. This agency is going to go nowhere until they get new leadership. And there's all kinds of drama that I'm just, you know, looking at this. But apparently there was an independent investigation conducted by a law firm, Kecker, Van Nest, and Peters LLP, supported by over 500 pages of evidence and 42 witness interviews. They've got overwhelming evidence backing this up and grounds for removal under the county charter. So I can't wait for her to be removed. And it's just, you know, I view it as selfish and prideful for her to stick with this agency and to ruin it. Randy, I know you've got maybe a little bit of insight on this. We've got maybe 25 seconds before we, but go ahead.
Yeah, you know, the absolute misconduct of this sheriff is startling. I mean, you're talking about nepotism, talking about hostile work environment. You could check off the boxes of everything you could possibly do wrong as a leader. And there was absolute insurrection within the department because of her incredible lack of leadership. And they have to remove her. She's got to be gone.
I agree. I look forward to that day. I can't wait till we make the, if when that happens, that'll be the first story we talk about. That'll be one of our main topics. So I love it. Well, guys, thank you so much. Another fantastic show. You know, Brett Bartlett, Captain Lieutenant Randy Sutton, former FBI agent Jim Orr. And, you know, guys, I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And again, they could use your financial support. Randy, you don't turn down one-time gifts or even monthly support as well, do you?
We'll take whatever we can get, baby.
All right. I love
it. Thewoundedblue.org.
And I love it. They got a summit coming up. And, you know, I love the fact that they're an organization that's not going to embarrass you. So please consider supporting them like I do. A shout out again to our sponsors, guys. Please support our sponsors, Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, GunLearn, Blue the Gold, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, and Two Bells. We appreciate everyone's support. We'll look for you guys back next week on Monday, 12 noon Eastern.